How many of you guys have ever seen those commercials where they have the before and after pictures? Have you ever seen those commercials? They're trying to sell you something, you know, like that will remove wrinkles or something, you know, that'll help you lose weight, you know, and then they give you the before picture and then the after picture, and usually the before picture, you know, they're frowning, and the after picture, they're grinning, you know, and this is, you know, why you need this. You know, well, Hebrews, this book, is a lot about before and after. It talks a lot about better things, and it compares things before Christ versus after Christ. It refers to Christ's sacrifice on the cross as a better sacrifice. So, you know, before and after, right? Okay, here's what it was. Here's what it looked like before the cross. Hebrews says, here's what it looks like after the cross. And so, you know, the question is, okay, Christ's sacrifice is better than what? You know, and that's what we got to look at. What's it better than? And when Hebrews says that the cross of Christ is better than, it's talking about the Old Testament sacrifices of Israel's priest. Before Jesus came, they would offer up animal sacrifices like bulls, goats, lambs, and all that was a shadow, was a picture of the ultimate sacrifice that was to come, where the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, would be sacrificed on the cross for our sins. And so with the Lord's Supper this morning, you know, we got the bread, the cup. The bread is symbolic of his body that he gave on the cross, and the cup is symbolic of his blood. And with us doing the Lord's Supper and communion this morning, I want to consider the question, how was Christ's sacrifice better than the sacrifices of the Old Testament? Hebrews is going to give us the answer, and what I'm going to share with you today is really important. It's like these principles are either going to very much instruct you or remind you of some things, or they're just going to bless your heart. I mean, if you at all, you know the Lord, these things are going to just cause you to praise the name of Jesus when you think about before the cross versus the blessings that we have today because of the cross. And so the first thing I want to share with you is this. Number one in your handout is that the Old Testament sacrifices could not take away sins, but Christ's sacrifice can take away sins. In the Old Testament, before Jesus Christ came, sins that people would commit, they would be temporarily, those sins would be temporarily covered by them bringing in faith the appropriate sacrifice. The thing is that those sacrifices could not take away sins. They could only cover them temporarily. Look with me at verse number 4, chapter 10, verse number 4. It says, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins." Look at verse 11. "And every priest stands daily ministering and offering," notice, "oftentimes," notice, "the same sacrifices." Why? "Which can never take away sins." So in the Old Testament, sins were covered, but they could not be gone. They could not be taken away. We know the difference between gone versus covered, right? It's like raising up three boys. We had carpet in the house, and of all things, wouldn't you know, it was a cream-colored carpet. And so we didn't typically let the boys drink anything or eat on the carpet, but things happen, you know, and exceptions are made. And so through the years, we've had everything, you know, spill on our carpet, you know. And we've had hot cocoa. We've had cherry Kool-Aid. Let me tell you, the worst is grape juice. If you get grape juice, which we have, one of the boys, I don't remember which one, spilled grape juice all over our carpet, and I tried everywhere. Normally, I can kind of scrub it. I got this stuff I spray on there, and I can get it out. Man, I could not get the grape juice out. You know what you do when you spill grape juice on cream-colored carpet? You forget about trying to get the stain out, and what you do is you get a decorative rug, and you cover it. Yeah, you just say, forget it, let's go to somewhere, get a rug, and let's cover it, you know. And the stain, and that's exactly what we did. The stain's still there, you know, and if you lift up the rug, you can see it. It's not gone, it's just covered, you know. And that's the picture I want you to get in the Old Testament. is that their sins were just covered. They could not be taken away. They could not be completely forgiven. Through Christ's sacrifice, though, we can be completely and wholly forgiven. Our sins are washed away by simple one-time faith in Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful for that, church? You know, we sung that song, "What Can Wash Away My Sins," right? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I can't help but think the songwriter had Revelation 1:5 in mind when he wrote that, where the Bible says that we are washed from our sins in his own blood, you know? So our sins today are not just covered for a year, then we got to go back and we got to get saved again. Aren't you thankful that at Crossroads, we do not have to have a Get Saved Again Sunday every year? It's Get Saved Again Sunday. Make sure you don't miss. Make sure you come to church, because believe it or not, it's been a year, so we've all got to come to church, and you got to see Pastor Dan, and you got to get your sins covered for another year. Aren't you glad we don't have to have a Get Saved Again Sunday every year? No, our sins are washed away. We are reconciled to God completely forever. Forever. I said forever. Amen. Look with me at verse number 14. It says, "For by one offering, he," Jesus, "has perfected," how long, church? "Forever, them that are sanctified." Look in your handout. I love that verse in your handout. Colossians 2:13. Look at that one. It says, "In you being dead in your sins." That was our previous condition. He said he's quickened. He made you alive together with Christ. And then notice what happened when you were made alive with Christ. When you got saved, the Bible says, "having forgiven you," how many? "All trespasses." How? Through the better sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Number two, those Old Testament sacrifices had to be repeated every year. But Christ's sacrifice was a one-time sacrifice. One time and done. Don't you wish our taxes were that way? One time. Don't you wish you could pay taxes one time and be done? Whew, amen. It's so aggravating. These things have to be repeated every year. Don't you dread the email, "Your Amazon Prime membership is set to expire." You know, and so you've got to renew it. You know, hey, wouldn't they make a bundle if somehow they could come up with a one-time visit to the dentist and it's good for life? You never have to go back to the dentist again. Wouldn't that be awesome? No, you got to keep going, right? And so it's like these things have to be renewed, renewed, renewed. Well, you get the picture? Because those Old Testament sacrifices could not take away sins, because of that, had to be repeated. Every year, came back around again. They had to do it again, and do it again. Compare that to Christ's sacrifice. Look at verse 10. It says there, "by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ." Notice, once for all. Look at verse 12. It says, "but this man," talking about Jesus, "after he had offered," notice, "one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Look at verse 14. "For by," notice, "one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified." One time. Jesus paid it all. And that song says, "all to him I owe. Sin left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow." White as snow. I mean, it's gone. The sin stains on my heart are gone. Ever get a stain on your shirt that you couldn't get out? You ever get a stain on your white shirt that you couldn't get out? Recently, I had a free drink on my Starbucks app. That's exciting. Because I won't buy those expensive drinks. I just won't do it, you know. And I just get coffee when I go. Just regular old hot coffee, you know. I'm one of those weird guys. And I got a free drink. So I go in there and the lady says, "what do you want?" I said, "you mean I can have anything I want?" She's like, "anything you want." I said, "anything I want, any size I want, any size you want." I said, "I know what I want." I said, "I want a Java chip frappuccino, and I want you to look back there for the biggest cup you can find." If you have a bucket, that'd be okay. Just use a bucket and just fill it full of Java chip frappuccino. I love that stuff, you know. And you know what I did? I got that thing. I went in the van. Denise is watching me eat it, and everything was good. I was, you know, drinking it through the straw, and everything was great. Well, I made the decision to take the lid off of it. And, you know, I had to stir some of the cream on top in with it. And then I got the straw and I went up like this and I went to go to my mouth and it went plop all over my brand new white shirt. Phew. Boy, let me tell you something. It's hard to get Java chip frappuccino out of a white shirt. We learned that. She learned that. I mean, it just wouldn't come out, you know, stains that just won't come out. I don't have time to tell a story right now, but if you really want the full edition, embellished story, just talk to Denise. She'll be glad to tell you this story about one time when we were dating and we were in church together and they were doing the Lord's Supper like we're doing today, and she had on a white dress, and no lie, it's a true story, we spilled the entire tray of grape juice all over her white dress. Just tipped the whole thing, just covered. That dress was never the same after that. It became a white dress with purple spots, purple polka dots. I mean, she said, I never wore it again. You know, couldn't get the stain out. Just couldn't do it. Now, I'm not going to tell that whole story. Denise will be glad to tell you that, though. But you know, aren't you thankful that Jesus paid it all? One-time sacrifice. And because of that, because it was so complete, so satisfactory, so final, that like the song says, it doesn't matter how bad your sin stains are. It doesn't matter what you've done. He can wash it white as snow. In fact, look back at Hebrews 9. It's two of my favorite verses. Look at verse 25. It says, Hebrews 9:25. Just go back a page probably. Hebrews 9:25. It says, nor yet that he, Jesus, should offer himself often as the high priest. Talking about in the Old Testament, entered into the holy place every year. He had to go in every year with the blood of others. You know, talk about goats and lambs and animals. For then must he, Jesus, often have suffered since the foundation of the world. In other words, if it was like the Old Testament, Jesus would have to die every year. He'd have to come and die every single year so we could get a renewal and have our sins covered for another year. He says, no, now once, look at verse 26. Now once in the end of the world has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Look in your handout at Romans 6, 9, and 10. It says the same thing as Hebrews. It says, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. Notice, for in that he died unto sin, how many times? Once. But in that he lives unto God. You see, the Old Testament sacrifice had to be repeated every year. Christ's sacrifice is a one-time sacrifice. Number three. The Old Testament sacrifices were exclusive. Christ's sacrifice was all-inclusive. You know, in our text, chapter 10 there, verse 11, talks about how the priest would stand daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. And what that's talking about is that's speaking of Israel in the Old Testament, their high priest. And he'd go into the most sacred place of the temple there, Israel's temple, on the Day of Atonement, every year, and offer up for the sins of the nation of Israel. This was not for the whole world. This was for the sins of Israel. It was exclusive. It was just for Israel. And you say, well, why is that? In the Old Testament, Israel, they were God's people. God had formed the nation. God had literally birthed that nation himself. And God made a covenant with them. And this was part of that covenant. Now, God loved the Gentile nations, and Israel was to be a light. The Gentile nations didn't want to retain God in their knowledge, and the Gentile nations had been given over to a reprobate mind, and all those things. They didn't worship the Creator. They worshiped the creature. They were in idolatry, and so Israel was to be a light to those nations, and God made provision. Any Gentile who wanted to become part of Israel could. They would become a proselyte, and they could come live with Israel, be a part of that nation, but the sacrifices that were made on behalf of them for their sins, it was just for the nation of Israel, all right? But now, I want you to notice what it says about Christ's sacrifice. Go back to Hebrews 10 and look at verse number 10, all right? Hebrews 10:10. It says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for who? A little bit louder. For who?
All.
All. For all. For all. So Jesus Christ's sacrifice was all-inclusive. It was for everyone. Look in your handout, 1 John 2:2. It says that Christ is the propitiation. Just mean he's the payment for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of who? Come on, talk to me, church. The sins of who? Whole world. Right. Sins of the whole world. And then look at the next verse, 1 Timothy 2:6. It says Christ gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. That chapter also says that that God will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Here's my point. Our God is not prejudiced. I want you to know that he's not prejudiced. And anybody who thinks God is prejudiced doesn't know God very well. Because God does not care what nationality you are, what country you're from. He doesn't care what language you speak. He does not care what your economic status is. God does not care what your skin color is. He doesn't care if you're black, white, brown, orange, or if your skin is purple with pink polka dots, okay? God does not care. God is not prejudiced. The wisdom that is from above is without partiality, James says. Whosoever will may come to Jesus and accept Christ and his sacrifice and be saved. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him, whosoever, I love that word, whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I want you to know something. If you've got a pulse, God wants you in his family, and our God is not prejudiced. The Old Testament sacrifices, yes, they were exclusive, but I want you to know that Jesus' sacrifice is all-inclusive. If you're in here today and you're not saved and you say, man, I've done some really bad stuff, I want you to know something. There is no sin stain that Christ's sacrifice cannot take care of. I want you to know he wants you in his family. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to have eternal life. You are invited to be a part of God's family. Christ's sacrifice was all-inclusive. The Bible says he died for all. For all. Whosoever will may come. I want you to know that we are a church that believes that God desires for all men to be saved and to come to him. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all men should come to repentance. Number four, the last thing is this. I told you these were awesome principles from the book of Hebrews. Before and after, right? The Old Testament sacrifices were offered by sinners. Christ's sacrifice was offered by the sinless one. I want to look at some verses together. Go to Hebrews chapter 9. Just go back a page probably. Hebrews 9:7. And let's draw a comparison here. Look at chapter 9, verse 7. It says, but into the second went the high priest alone once every year. Talking about the Old Testament. Not without blood. Now look at this. Which he offered for who? Himself and for the errors of the people. So when the high priest offered up a sacrifice for a temporary forgiveness of the sins of the nation, he was included in that. Why? Because he was a sinner too. Compare that with Christ. Look over at chapter 7. Flip back a couple more pages and go back to chapter 7 and look at verse 26. It says, for such, talking about Jesus, for such a high priest became us. And then notice how it describes Jesus, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Who needs not daily, as those high priests, talking about the Old Testament, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins. He doesn't have to do that, and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law makes men high priests which have infirmity. The law, the Old Testament law, if you were a high priest, you were still a sinner, right? You were still had infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, makes the Son consecrated forevermore. You see, listen, this is why Christ's sacrifice is the final one-time sacrifice. It's because he is the perfect, sinless sacrifice. Peter uses the analogy that he's a lamb without blemish and without spot. Hebrews 4:12 says, Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. So, you know, here's the deal. You don't have to go to a priest, a pastor, a minister, a religious leader to try to get forgiveness of your sins. They are a sinner just like you are. I want you to know that the only place you can find forgiveness of your sins is you got to go to the sinless one, Jesus Christ. Had Christ sinned, he would have stayed dead after his death on the cross. The wages of sin is death. You know, death would have been able to hold him down because the wages of sin is death. But death had no rightful hold on Jesus because he never sinned. Let me ask you something today. Aren't you thankful that he is risen? And you say, why? Why is he risen? Because he was sinless. The guy who knew him best, Peter probably, right? Peter was part of that inner core group. Peter walked with him, talked with him, lived with him, traveled with him. You know how that is, man. When you live and travel with somebody, you know them pretty well. Is there anybody that you know that you live with that you would say is sinless? Guys, don't try to make brownie points right now, please. Yeah, she's just an angel, right? Yeah. But no, I mean, listen, the people that you live with, you know them really well. You know their weaknesses. You know the issues, right? Well, Peter lived with Jesus. He said he did no sin. He said that emphatically in the book of 1 Peter. He did no sin. And that's why death could not hold him down. And that's why he's alive. And today, you can be saved. You can become part of God's family. Today. But it requires a decision. It's like everything else in life, okay? Everything in life, really, think about it. It requires a decision. I mean, you've got a job because you made a decision to accept the job. You came to church today because you made a decision to go to church. If you're going to eat lunch today, it'll be because you made a decision to go and eat lunch somewhere and eat whatever you're going to eat. If you've got a car, it's because you made a decision to buy that car. And so please do not have the idea that, well, I'm just going to make no decision and that's okay. That's not okay. That's not okay. You've got to get off the fence. You have to decide whether or not you're going to accept and receive Jesus Christ or whether you're not going to do that. And so you can become part of God's family. Christ has done everything on the cross necessary for you to be forgiven, for your sins to be washed away, for you to be restored and reconciled to a right relationship with God. But that's not going to automatically happen. That requires a decision on your part. Christ's sacrifice for your sins is enough. It's final. It's a complete payment. All he wants you to do is to put your faith, put your trust in him. Put your confidence in him. Open up your heart to him. Receive him. The Bible says to those that receive him, he gives the power to become the sons of God. And so today, before we receive the Lord's Supper here in a moment, I'd like to give you an opportunity to do that. If you say, well, I've always been a Christian. No, you haven't. No, nobody's born a Christian. It requires a decision. Can you go back in your mind to a time when you made a decision for Christ? You made a decision of your own will and choosing that you were going to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. If not, man, I'd love for you to do that today.